The vineyard described in the two readings today is the church, where there is so very much wholesome, healthy ferment today. During the 1940s and 50s, I was fortunate to meet, to work with, seasoned and experienced pastors and theologians who, in their own sunset years, had developed prophetic insights into the need for church renewal, even back then. And they spoke of the need to translate our age-old truths of faith into a contemporary presentation that people of today could better understand. And they pointed to the need for asking questions about their faith so that people would be encouraged to internalize the faith into real-life situations. They pointed out that Christianity was already beginning a process of what today can be called its most challenging growth experience in the last 2,000 years. Today we are in nothing less than what can be called an Exodus generation. We are leaving behind an old institution and witnessing the birth of a new one. A new one that will set the tone for Christianity for at least the next 1,000 years. And we people today happen to be the ones living through this ferment and upheaval. And more than that, the mountain that we call the church today is moving right before our very eyes into what we call a stage 4 faith experience. Faith is not an object to be kept or lost, as we were once taught. Rather, faith is a process that passes through at least 6 stages. And one way to understand the stages is to look at the stages of faith in growing children. Stage 1 is preschool, a time when little children learn their attitudes toward God, notions of God, loving, judging, or a fearful God. And those notions will set the course of faith for years to come for that child. Then, stage 2 is early childhood, a time when children learn faith stories. The Jesus story, the Moses story, and it is then that parents and teachers tell the stories. Faith comes through hearing. That is why we listen to the Word. Stage 3, adolescence. A time when youngsters become socialized by their peers. Sometimes you call it peer pressure. They're indoctrinated, as they were. They follow other people in a non-judgmental way. At that stage, 3, there is unity by uniformity. It characterizes the stage of adolescence, stage 3. Until 20 years ago, the vast, vast majority of all Catholic people lived and died in stage three. They did not go beyond it. They all thought the same thoughts. They questioned nothing. They did what everyone else did. They went to church on Sunday because everyone else went to church on Sunday. There was a great deal of peer pressure. Stage four is increased maturity. It's a time when reappraisal should occur, when people should begin to ask questions about their faith. Because faith then is ready to grow from the inside out. It begins to be internalized. God no longer is up there somewhere, but God becomes immanent, living within us, and that becomes understood. There are models of faith chosen at that stage, and polar models in the church begin to emerge, causing some tension. Some people will gravitate toward interior or prayer models of faith. Other people will gravitate toward peace and justice models because they are more activist by nature. Other people will gravitate toward group models in the church, such as marriage encounter, a charismatics, a crucial. There must be at least a dozen available. And then you have group encounters versus individual models, such as people who encounter Christ one-to-one. This means at stage four, people discover that in the Catholic Church today we have pluralism. People are invited and encouraged to gravitate toward whatever happens to fit their particular need at that stage in life. Many models are available to choose from. But many people feel the model they are in is the model everyone else should belong to for salvation. It's a little bit myopic. Stage five is when faith begins to reject just one kind of model for expressing or growing in the faith. And a person begins to understand that there are different models in the church and they're all good. They are all good. And everyone should enjoy and pursue what they wish. Stage six, the person grows to what would be called a prophetic quality of faith, where you transcend the regional differences and recognize in perspective that indeed we are all one people, broken humanity in whom the Lord lives, and we are church. The vineyard. Now it happened about 25 years ago by a concatenation of events through an evolutionary process that the Vatican Council did happen. But even if it didn't, there was a tremendous movement that took place in all of humankind whereby people moved from stage three in adolescence to stage four. Even though many Catholic people continued to cling to stage three because they were afraid or something to move on. Now by 1960, the official teachings of the church reflected in the Vatican Council simply validated all that I had learned and experienced already in the 1940s. Because I had been placed in contact fortuitously with well-seasoned colleagues. It means that a minister must go rapidly at least to stage five, so that as pastor he recognizes people in stage three who are afraid of change and throw up the ramparts. That's why there's so much polarity in the church today. At the same time, a pastor must not identify with anyone in stage four necessarily, because otherwise he might not recognize the validity of all of the models of the church within his own parish. And his effect would be limited only to the model that he would embrace. Pluralism means that everyone identifies with the stage they're at. But here's the next point. All of us, without exception, are invited again and again in our lifetimes to these beautiful moments of illumination when we are invited to move forward from the stage where we are at and move to the next stage. The call is always from the Spirit of the cosmic Christ who dwells within us personally and the community. The cosmic Christ, the Spirit, calls us forward. The call is an invitation to look into our heart and discover the deepest longings, and there are four. All of us have a longing to love, a longing to be loved, a longing to share our emotions and experiences, and finally a longing to blossom to fullest potential. Now that process is the invitation whereby Christians develop their faith. Their life and their faith are one. Now what happens as you accept the invitation to grow in faith? You discover, first of all, a wonderful experience of a personal encounter with the Word of God in Scripture. It begins to speak to you with its mystery. You discover a personal encounter with the Spirit of the risen Christ. You discover that the Lord is imminent, dwells within your heart, and is real. And you discover the Church of Easter. You discover that the church is here to liberate you, to bring good news, and not to burden you. Now this growth is going on, not just in the Catholic Church, but rather in every nation in the world, in every religion. Today, in the last quarter century, we have witnessed historically, for the first time in thousands of years, an epic lifting of faith consciousness among all peoples of all religions. That is why there is such a fascination with the religion today. People will seek it through cults if they don't find it in what is some kind of an orthodox presentation. There's a quantum leap today from where we were in the 40s and 50s to where we are going. This is one reason why perhaps there has been so much pain and alienation that stems from some people's disenchantment with the institutional church of the past. And that's all right to be angry with all the mistakes that have been made with the institution. We are all sinful, broken members of that institution. But then we learn to transcend the institutional element of the church and return to what the church is. It's a sacrament, the sign of Jesus Christ.